Hello and welcome back to Mullahy, a Dream S&P podcast. This is episode 55 and today we'll be discussing Dream's character once again. Welcome back.
Hello. Hello.
I'm here now, again.
Yes, we're all here this time, except, you know, Seb.
So I have had exams, I have not been keeping up with lore. What has happened? I've got no idea. Explain it to me.
I feel like not a lot that I'm aware of.
I mean, we had the whole George and Satek go crazy, and Foolish being a target, and then Aimsy being a target, and then Dream showing up.
The last bit of lore that I really like watched was the thing where Tommy and Wilbur broke into the prison to talk with Dream, and so like I didn't watch the stream with Foolish that happened after or anything since then.
I've watched everything that happened on that day and nothing since, because I wasn't aware of it, because ever since the Dream SMP updates Twitter account stopped working, I haven't been getting... shut down, or I don't know, that account
what
no
happened?
Longer exists. We don't know. That account no longer exists, so, I follow a different one now, but I never turned notifications on for it, so I don't know when people go live, except Dream, because I have a Dream Updates account that's, you know,
yeah,
notifications are on, so.
I guess I could explain what happened during the whole... It's, you know, the usual George and Sapnap get together on the S&P and then cause chaos?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. That's basically what happened. George, I did not catch the beginning of it.
I did hear about this. Hold on, I know what you're talking about. I didn't watch it, though. Yeah. They went on the server and they were... You know,
no,
typical
actually,
they
went
assholes.
Live right after we recorded last week.
Yeah, and they were just
assholes.
It was. I've seen clips of because Foolish was streaming at the time, and then they were streaming, and someone has made a compilation of Foolish's perspective and Sapnap and George's perspective
of their
interaction,
so wild.
And it's hilarious because Sapnap's talking this like. Super dramatic voice, like, you have to listen to us or
on.
I'm gonna kill you with this dramatic music, and then and you switch to Foolish, and it's just like this very calm, like either silent or it's like Kirby music, and he's just like, what the hell are these idiots doing? And it's just such a good contrast, and I'm just like, oh my god.
I think the people have talked about how it's almost like. It's exactly the same vibes as when Dream was on a stream speaking to us on the Dream SMP and Bad encounters him going, oh my god. Screaming,
yeah.
Running away, yelling. And then it's back
it was
to Dream.
Just so dramatic. And very much a them thing to do. But,
very much.
Oh my god, those little dumbasses. Oh my lord. And it's just a whole thing. They're just so stupid. It's just them being chaotic little shits, and it's just like, alright. Okay, I guess.
But
sure,
I mean, like,
this is what's happening.
We got some interesting tidbits from it, though. Like, I'm considering this lore because they were basically in- This is how Sapnap does lore, okay? This is how GNF-
Yeah. I am curious how much of it's, like, canonical lore or whatever, because doesn't Dream, like, kill George?
By accident. Because Foolish crit- Dream was behind a wall. Foolish crit George behind that wall, and then George went upwards, and Dream was shooting, like, warning arrows. And George walked into the arrow and died.
Oh no, their romance. It's so tragic now. What are they gonna do? Oh no. How will they ever reconcile? Oh god.
Don't worry, George found a new love, Sapnap. No, that's just an NPC.
Yeah, that's a whole MCC thing. Yeah, what else happened during that? I know they- did they actually blow up the mansion?
No. So what happened was,
I saw all the TNT in it, and I thought I know they, like, blew up or, like, destroyed Tubbo's house. Like,
Okay.
Like, they put a giant hole in the side of it, and I think they killed all of his villagers.
Well, he's moved on to a newer pastures, it's fine.
Has he? Did Tubbo move?
Tubbo moved, like, 3,000 blocks in the nether, outside of spawn.
Oh. I mean, that's a smart move, to be honest. given...
Yeah. No, I think... Yeah. So, I did not catch everything because I missed the first part of the stream. But I believe the parts I caught was George and Sapnap threatening Foolish in his house, saying, if you light the TNT and blow it up, or we'll do it for you, or we'll kill you. And Foolish is like, go ahead, do it, light it up. Well, kill me. Come on, I'm not gonna blow up this mansion I built.
Yeah, why would he? It
took him so long, man. And then, I believe Sapnap and George, they start lighting up TNT, but they place water just as it's about to explode. So it doesn't do any actual structural damage. And then Angie goes on. Yeah.
I knew that they had like put the TNT everywhere. I just kind of assumed they went through it.
I don't think even like they would blow up something Foolish spent months building.
I don't know. I kind of like the policy
mostly because
of nothing
I think Dream would get mad
server
at them.
That's
I feel
true. Dream does
Dream could rain
them
probably
in.
Get mad at them for blowing up Foolish's mansion. But yeah, because like I feel like there's a difference between a beloved pet and then something you literally put your blood, sweat, and tears into and went insane over for 3 months.
Yeah, that mansion, man. I was like, I think that was like one of his like first like big builds other than his summer base.
Yeah,
dude, and it kind of was like the proven, like everyone knew he was a good builder, but it was kind of the moment of proof to like everyone else, like, oh, we can get him to build stuff for us.
Dude, Kanoko XD statue, the fucking pyramid took less time than that fucking mansion.
Yeah, the mansion's fucking insane.
It's not just huge, it's complicated. There's so many walls and there's like interior walls.
Yeah, it's just...
Most hermits don't have interior walls.
Yeah. It's just a whole... I don't even know what to say about it, right? Because, like, he put so much effort into that. And it's just fucking insane, the size of it. And the fact
and no
that
one
it never
uses
gets
it.
Used for anything is a little depressing.
Well,
AMD
used it for a little bit and then got kicked out.
Nice. Nice.
The person who doesn't use it for anything. No, but it's just...
Was there like some lore with AMC? I think I heard something about that.
Yeah, so AMC logged on, and that distracts George and Sapnap, and they're like, oh, you know what? Let's go mess with AMC instead, because Foolish isn't fighting. He's not raising to the bait. So they leave, Foolish cleans up the TNT, and they head towards AMC, and then Foolish learns, I think from chat, that they're planning on killing AMC. Either from like the chat logs or just chat itself. So it's like, and he thinks about what, and then he starts heading towards AMC's place and he wonders, should I help AMC? Should I save them? Or should I just let them go through with it because it's gonna give me souls for XC? As he's running towards AMC's place.
Right. So even in that moment, he's like, he's just already going, alright.
He's already going, he's pondering, should I really go help as he's heading over? No.
Good man, good man.
Man, Foolish is such a nice guy. It's difficult to say. Like, I think he's a good person, and I also think he's an asshole sometimes. See,
his characters, both. Yeah.
Yeah.
he's a weird little conundrum.
Yeah. So Sapnap and George, they head over to Amesie's place, and they're like, "Aha, I tricked you, Amesie!" And starts placing TNT down everywhere. I don't know what they threaten them with, because it's weird.
Yeah, of course.
But, I think they ask Amesie to blow up the place or die. I think it's the same question they ask Foolish. And Amesie, it's really sad because Ames like, "Hi everybody," and then they're just standing there like expecting a nice welcome of people on the server, and Sapnap and George come in with TNT, their bows out, their crossbows out, whatever. They've got their swords and they're holding Amesie at gunpoint, essentially going, "Blow up your house or we'll kill you."
Ah, sounds like them. Is anyone surprised, to be honest? Even remotely surprised.
They're just
kinda like that.
Foolish arrives, but not before like they've already set things up. And Foolish is standing on, I think he curls up to the tree above Amesie's, in Amesie's place, and he's looking down at them, and he's wondering if he should intervene or not, and then Sapnap, I think, gets hit with an arrow, flaming bow arrow, and you look, and if you, like, look to the side of Foolish's screen, you actually see Dream crouching in the corner, because, like, sometime during all this, Dream logs on.
He's stealth assassinating. Nice, good job. Man. Oh. Poor Amesie, to be honest. They join the server and what, everything just goes to hell.
I know.
Nothing good happens when you join the SMP. Nothing good
unless
happens.
Unless you're CPK.
Unless you're CPK. CPK's actually not done too badly for himself.
Yeah.
Somehow.
He's managed to trick everyone he's pissed off into blowing up someone else's house.
Yeah! That's the number one strategy right there. Nothing else, just, you know, get everyone else to die.
So, Dream shows up, like, "Oh my gosh, it's Dream!" But he doesn't intervene, but you can see him, like, crouching in the corner, and then, like, behind the wall outside of Amesie's place, and then Sapnap's like, "Oh," because Foolish, like, "I didn't shoot that arrow." And then Sap's like, "Oh, it's Dream. I can see you, Dream," he says. It's really funny because Dream is in the call with them. But I think Sapnap's muted him.
Good job, Sapnap. Nicely done. Oh my god. He would, wouldn't he?
I think Sapnap had him muted earlier, and he just didn't unmute him until, like, a little later. But, because I think Dream was asking them to, like, to not do it, and, like, not actually blow up the mansion or whatever. Sapnap got annoyed.
Not that, you know, worked, but, you know, good try.
But, yeah, so they keep threatening, like, and then Sapnap says something to Amesie about the death book. It's like, "I can use your life for use in the death book."
Mm-hmm.
We're just like, is that lore? Lore? Death book lore?
Kinda?
Could you substitute the cost of the death book by using someone else's life instead? Yeah.
I kinda wonder. I don't know. I mean, I could see that maybe working.
Depends on what XD is feeling. Okay, there's a really weird feedback going happening in my mic, and it's just, sorry.
Oh.
I just, every time I speak a little too loudly, my right headphone just goes,
oh, that sucks.
Yeah. I believe, some more posturing happens, some more arrows are, like, shot in front of Sapnap and George, and then Sapnap kills Amesie. And then Amesie drops 4 totems of undying that they, for some reason, did not have equipped.
Wait, why did they have 4 totems of... Oh, I bet they got them from Ghost Boop. never mind. I was like, how would you have gotten those? I was like, wait, never mind. You're friends with the rich dead man. never mind, I understand.
Yeah, and Sadman's like, ooh, I want those, and goes and steals them.
Of course he does.
This prompts Foolish, and I think Dream as well, to, like, enter and intervene, and, like, so Foolish jumps in to, like, sort of fight them off. Dream also enters, and I believe into an, like, Aimsy's home is enclosed by a wall, so he...
Mm-hmm.
Pillars up, jumps in, and breaks all the TNT while George and Sapnap are distracted. Which is, like, Dream willingly putting himself into an enclosed space just to help a random stranger he's never met.
Yeah, it's interesting, that he's doing that, right? Because...
Sapnap wants to kill him.
Yeah, but also just, why would you? you don't know this person, like, you're not involved with them. Yeah, you don't owe them anything. But, here he is anyways.
Because he's a good person, damn it. He's not a good person, but I think he's, like, it's a sort of, like, nature versus nurture thing. It's in his nature to do good things. And, like, help people and give them stuff and be kind.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, the server doesn't let him, so he has to be something else.
Hmm.
Right.
I don't know.
Because, like,
it's hard to say. Like, I don't think he's not, like, an evil monster by nature, but he does some fucking things. I don't know if I could call him, like kind-hearted at the core, because he's really not. Like, even if he does good things.
I say it's very similar to the way Techno is kind. Because Technoblade's not nice, but he's kind, right?
Yeah.
I think at heart, Dream is, without anything else sort of, like, muddling his, what he's likely to do, he is a pretty giving person. Dude, he gives Bad Boy Halo and Skeppy, like, totems of undying. Actually, did he give CPK anything? I don't remember. I don't think he gave CPK anything. But he gave Aaron, like, a totem of undying as well. When he's in the prison with him, Tommy asks for a potato, he just gives one unthinkingly.
It's weird, he's, like, nice, but also not at the same time. he's both. I mean, I guess that's not weird, because, like, real people are like that, you know?
Yeah.
Like, they'll do nice things and then also be a petty asshole at the same time, and that's kind of, like, the definition of him, so...
Yeah.
You know?
I'd say, like, when he's not thinking about stuff, he instinctively gives other people things or tries to protect them or mediates conflicts.
Yeah. He's definitely, a mediator type person. It doesn't seem like he would be, considering, like, you know, he does, at least, even if he doesn't cause it, he gets himself involved in a lot of conflicts, usually not on the nice side of the board. But, like, it's interesting, because, like, this is going to turn into an episode where we just talk about Sea Dream a lot, which, you know, fair, he's kind of our favorite characters. It's interesting, because he's not a nice person. He's not a good person. He's not pure evil. He's a bad person. Let's be real. He's a bad person. Like, you see the shit he does. He's a bad person. He's not evil, but he's a bad person. But it's just, he doesn't, like... He does...
Well, I mean, I want to say there aren't good or bad people. There are good or bad actions, though.
I feel like if you do enough bad actions, you're sort of a bad person, though, to be fair.
I don't know.
I think about
a good person is more about, like, motive.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think someone can be, like, a purely good or a purely bad person. Like, I don't think that's possible. But, like, just based off his actions...
I'm not going to excuse his actions, like, bleh. I'm not trying to excuse his actions, but I feel like the kind of person he is at his core isn't the kind of person he, obviously it's not the person he tries to show off or pretend to be. Because like when you see him do all these acts of kindness that he really shouldn't do or doesn't have to do, probably shouldn't do, and that also puts him in like potential danger, like Dream, last time he logged off presumably was somewhere near Foolish's summer home, and when he logs in this time, I'm pretty sure he basically just ran the entire way to where Aimsy's home was, only to come just in time to watch Aimsy die, basically. And even then, he still chooses to enter like this enclosed area. Well, he could escape, but it's like he's dealing with a lot of shit, and he still decides to try and help someone else out, right? He didn't have to. He didn't have to log on. He didn't have to go towards where Sapnep or George was, or to where Aimsy's place was. He didn't have to do any of that, but he chose to do it anyways, with more reasons to not do it than to actually do it, and he still chose to do it. Like, that's what I say when by think by nature he is really strangely nice.
Yeah, he's definitely like, he's not like a, like, I know he's like, you know, he's the bad guy, like,
yeah.
He's a Billie Eilish bad guy, but it's he does do nice things every once in a while. Like, it's interesting. It just really, it depends on whose story you're watching, to be fair.
Yeah.
Like, if you're watching from SBI, yeah, he's just a douchebag who's evil.
Well, not even
and,
SBI.
Like,
if you're watching from Tommy's perspective, if you're specifically
well, that's
if you're watching
true.
From
like,
Tommy
if you're not
and
watching,
Phil's...
Yeah,
if you're watching
watching...
from Technos, he's just a guy. If you're watching from
yeah.
Tommy's perspective, he is the most evil villain of all time. If you watch from Phil's perspective, he thinks he's a bad person. Or, like, Phil does not like Dream.
If you watch from Tekken's perspective, he's just a guy.
He's just a guy. Which is probably the most actual, real
I just honestly, like, I think the fact that I started watching from Tekken's perspective, like, is where I got, like, a lot of my perspective on Dream.
Yeah.
Just because I started off with my perspective of him being, he's just some guy.
If you, like, watch early SMP from Tommy's perspective, Dream is someone to topple, to beat, right? To lord over.
Mm.
And if you watch Wilbur's perspective, Dream is also that person to Wilbur. And then afterwards, he becomes the and then after in Poptopia, he becomes a benefactor. But he's still something Wilbur likes to boss around and lord over and like look how I a little bit because I am Wilbur's nah
yeah
that's just me though.
I remember like way back when I first got into the fandom, like I did this whole analysis of the whole Vassal speech stream, like going like by word by word, timestamps included. I think, like, my interpretation has definitely shifted a bit since then, but, like, there's still value in that interpretation. And I know it's, like, a lot of other people who like Dream's character, he don't interpret it that way.
Mm.
But basically, the way I saw it was, essentially, Wilbur is threatening Dream by saying that if he takes back power in the Manburg, he will be worse than Schlack currently is.
Mm.
So therefore, Dream should help him just destroy it all.
Yeah. That's sort of I don't remember the details of that speech anymore because it's just been a while. But my interpretation of the sort of vibes happening was Wilbur is in charge, and Dream is his vassal. Not the other way around.
I know like there's other interpretations of it. I think like specifically like Apple's interpretation of it. And the main difference between our interpretations is just how we interpret Dream just, like, agreeing to meet with Wilbur. Because I see that as him being like, okay, I'll hear him out. And Apple sees that as Dream agreeing to help Wilbur.
Yeah, because it's like, I feel like, I feel like the idea that Dream was just, okay, let's hear him out, let's actually speak in person and talk about what we're gonna do instead of over text. is probably, for me, it's a more reasonable thing to assume than to assume that Dream completely understood what Wilbur wanted and automatically, immediately, completely agreed with what he wanted to do. Because his response was a little
Too
quick,
I think it's
right?
actually, like, a really good example of, like, how an analysis, even just, like, a minor difference in how you interpret a certain event or a certain line, can have huge impacts on how you view an entire scene or an entire event.
Yeah. So I feel like...
So, like, if you ever see someone, you're, like, doing analysis, and you're like, how the hell did they get that? It could just be a situation like that where they just interpreted, like, one thing slightly differently.
Yeah.
And that changed the entire meaning of the scene for them.
Yeah. Because, like, and this is going a little meta again, but every single time Dream has spoken about Manberg before that vassal scene that I found at least three clips. Clips or something? I found a few things, but every single time, even when he had no reason to, or he wasn't in the presence of the Pogtopians at all, he insisted on calling Manberg La Manberg, and that to me sort of proves that content creator Dream at the very least was 100% on Pogtopia's side up until that vassal speech. Because like he when Carl is giving Alyssa a tour of the Dream SMP, he shows her Manberg and says, and Dream's like, oh, where are we now? Is this... and Carl's like, yeah, this is Manberg. And Dream like, no, this is La Manberg. And then Carl's like, yeah, whatever.
He's very pointed about that.
Yeah, he's very pointed. He gets everybody to stop talking just so he can say, Carl, I will never call this place Manberg. He corrects Sapnap when Sapnap says he corrects Tommy when Tommy says it. Like, dude was... very much on Pogtopia's side, at least up until the vassal speech and stream, right? So something shifted there. That's what my belief is. That Dream was 100% on Pogtopia's side, and then something happened during the vassal speech, maybe a little before, maybe probably afterwards, that caused him to change his mind and switch sides. Because, like, why be so insistent on that point if not to show support to the people you are supporting?
Yeah, that's fair. Huh.
And, like, it wasn't that late night Carl stream. No one from Pogtopia was gonna see it. He didn't have to, like, and he didn't even have to insist on it either, right? Because he didn't have to make everybody quiet down just and ask Carl to actually listen to him when he says, because Carl kind of just sort of breezes over and says, yeah, sure, whatever, Manberg. And, like, instead of letting it go, Dream continues to... he pushes the point and insists on calling it La Manberg and not Manberg. And I'm like, just like, why would someone who is only pretending to be on Pogtopia's side do something like that when it literally doesn't matter if he agreed or if he didn't agree or if he pushed or if he didn't push? Because the people he is supposedly...
like, I really feel like the whole, like, Dream was never on the Manberg side thing. It's like a big case of when people see a character change their opinion on something and they view that as the character always thinking that instead of, you know, like, character development happening.
I feel like at the very least that he was probably less on Wilbur's side and more on Tommy's side, because at that point the relationship was still pretty friendly-ish.
Mm-hmm.
And that was why he wanted to help Pogtopia and help. He also wanted to help Tommy in particular, and that's probably also why. Because like he makes a big point out of names, right? Because before even when Hamburg. I think it was not when Le Manberg, but before Le Manberg got, quote unquote, got its independence, he insisted on calling it Le Man Childberg.
To be fair, they are mischild.
I mean, yes, he wasn't wrong, but like, I feel like that was a sticking point to sort of like his character, quote unquote, or like a sticking point to him, because like, before Le Manberg got his independence, they're just a bunch of children. And then Manbrook became a thing, but that's still not Manbrook, that's still a Manbrook to him because he doesn't recognize Schlapp's rule necessarily.
Yeah.
So like that's why I think that something happened to like I'm just repeating myself, but that's why I think that the vassal speech was when a shift happened in his head and he goes from, oh, I'm going to help Tommy / Proctopia to, well, I guess I'm gonna be on my own fucking side now. And give Wilbur TNT to blow shit up.
Yeah, I mean, that is the life, isn't it? Just
give yeah.
people tear TNT so they can go and do terrorist acts, you know? You have to
yeah.
work yourself.
Yeah.
You want that country gone? Just find the right unstable man.
But yeah, but I like I want a lot I do know like before and it's kind of during the prison arc, a lot of people like to say that Dream didn't change much between season 1, season 2, season 3. And I would like to put in the argument that that yes, it's like it's weird because I'm not a 100% one or the other. I like to say, my interpretation is that his core self stayed more or less the same, but like he still had character development from season 1 into season 2 and
yeah.
then beyond. Like
I don't think you can say that like what happened in season 1 didn't affect his character in some
yeah,
manner, because it was kind of important that like that whole deal with like what happened with LeManberg during that time is definitely pretty important to
it's
his
a
character.
Huge part of his character. It makes him go from being like I can talk to these people and reason things with them to I have to take things into my own hand and blow shit up because the only thing they'll respond to is violence.
Mm.
Yeah, it definitely, like, to be fair, my lore analyzing brain has sort of died the last
yeah.
week, so I can't really, I feel like I can't, like, make any, like, good analysis here that hasn't
yeah.
already been, like, something somebody else did ages
That's
ago
fine.
Way better, but.
Creativity is just
I used up all my analysis brain on my, history and English exam.
Yeah, it's just not gonna happen today.
And again, like I haven't watched most of the lore, so I can't really say that much about it.
Cause like,
nah.
I don't want
just,
to see like, yeah.
He's just, you know, he's just him. He's just a guy. He's still a little guy. He just
yeah,
does
like,
funny stuff.
Yeah, like
maybe he's listening to this and somehow doesn't like the character Dream.
Why are you doing?
Going
podcast?
Back and watch it?
Like, we end up talking. I think you could probably, like, do a counter of, like, going through every single,
we talk about
episode we've
at least
done.
Once.
Yeah, and I think you could probably say, like, you could make a solid list of, like, every episode where, the Mellowhive staff talks about Dream or character Dream for more than 5 minutes of the episode.
Yeah.
I remember the LeSandberg episodes.
Yeah.
Mm.
I feel like
you
mentioned
him. If you are watching this podcast, like, latest to earliest, go back to the earlier episodes where we talk about LeSandberg a ton, because, I know, it's just a really fun time in the lore.
Yeah.
Bad, you should.
And we talked a lot about, like,
support.
Comparisons between LeSandberg and LeManberg and how it's kind of, like, parodying it.
Yeah. I'm like, and you kind of see it happening as well, and it's really subtle, and it's not in your face because he doesn't fucking scream, the asshole. when changes in his mindset sort of happen, like, he goes from speaking up and defending his actions and perspective to outsiders on the whole independence of LeManberg, and then he gives up on it. He literally stops caring what He stops trying to convince other people that he's not the bad guy, and he starts giving up on it, and he starts leaning into that perspective instead, because no one's going to give him the time of day, no one's going to listen to them, so why bother?
This kind of reminds me of the trauma interpretation, which, for those not familiar, was So back in like early like Free Blurred Dreamapologist days, right?
Mm-hmm.
In like winters to spring 2021.
It was
So there were two primary interpretations among character dream fans, and those are the strategist interpretation and the trauma interpretation.
Yeah.
And so far, especially with stuff like stage finale being revealed and getting more insight on this character, at the moment strategist interpretation is very much like the one that most people accept.
Yeah, it's definitely, I think, although the more different, likely like, to be extremities. Fair.
But the trauma interpretation is pretty interesting because it basically was Dream was treated like a villain even when he was trying to do the best, that his sort of like image of himself changed to him being the villain, so he figured that the only way he could help the server was by being the villain.
It was basically and essentially, while
strategist interpretation had the stage finale, for the trauma interpretation, that was basically just like a mental breakdown, essentially.
Because
obviously, because we kind of all agreed that the stage finale didn't really make much sense. It was just like different ways of explaining that.
Yeah. I mean, I think there is.
I mean,
like,
that's the finale. I think I just said stage finale, but just like the disc finale in general.
Yeah.
We all kind of agreed that that didn't make much sense, yeah. So there was two main interpretations explain that.
There's the thing, though, is that, like, basically the traumatized interpretation was just, like, him being like, I just want to help everybody, I'm just a sad little movie boy, and I just want to help everybody, but they all hate me, so I guess I'll just accept it. And it's funny, though, because, like...
In a way, that is what happened.
Well, no, I mean, there is elements of it, but it's not as, like, crying and being, like,
literally.
And the other thing is that there's also, he is, like, I don't know, Strategist Dream is definitely the more, like,
tragic.
Likely, like, canon, and it's just, like, he is traumatized, mm-hmm. like, even... It's just the version of how his trauma works is like the ultimate different. Like, they're both traumatized, right? But like Strategist Dream, his method of dealing with that is just repression. It's not like silently suffering. It's like he just pushes it away and pretends it didn't happen unless it's a useful tool to him. Like, you know, trauma dumping on Foolish and being like, you know, I got tortured for like a year. It's like, yeah, okay. Like, he's a manipulative little shit, to be fair. Like, he doesn't let anything, like, he is an emotional character. He has emotional moments, but like, he doesn't let his emotions, he tries to avoid letting his emotions affect him. Unless it's gonna be useful. But obviously, like, and he was really good at that before, and the way that you can tell that he's, like, fucked up about it, like, and what happened to him, and, like, in the prison and stuff, is that now he's not so good at making those decisions completely logically, you know? Like, there's the whole thing with, like, him and, like, Wilbur showing up to the prison.
There's the whole thing with the Sam stuff as well. Dude walks in trying to, like, he's basically, what he wants to do is to, what he also doesn't want to admit is what he wants, is to get Sam to admit that Sam did a shitty thing to him, and that Dream is valid in his hurt. And, like, he's like, ugh. And it's the same thing with Quackity's going, like, well, I understand what Quackity wanted, yeah, like, shake him. He's like,
yeah, it's
I think,
just,
yeah,
like
Dream's very much like looking at Quackity and just being like, you're a terrible person, but at least you seem to be like acknowledging that.
Yeah, that's actually
and then
a
he's looking at
thing.
At Sam and is like,
it's like
do the same.
You're kind of like me, Sam, if I were a lying little pussy.
Yeah, he's got... So that's actually an interesting point. Character Dream has this thing where... And I'm kind of curious if this has somewhat resulted from his sort of, like... I don't want to call it a revelation, but his sort of... Because he did have that turning point of, like... In the beginning, he did justify himself, right? He's like, I'm not a bad person. Like, am just doing what's necessary, right? But that has changed over time. He's like, no, I'm a bad person. I'm still doing what's necessary, but I realize that I am a bad person. I realize I am not a good person. And it's interesting because he tries to force that same acknowledgement onto Sam. Which, to be fair, Sam needs that, because Sam needs to get his shit checked. But it's interesting to me, like, this, like, how much of a point this has become for him of, like, I want Sam to realize, just like how I realized, that just because I do what's necessary, I'm still a bad person. And he'd be so much better if he would just fucking realize, like, no, Sam, you are a bad person for the things that you've done. They may have been necessary, but that doesn't mean you're a good person. And that's Sam's problem. Sam, like, patently believes. He's like, no, I did what was necessary, but I'm not a bad person. I'm not evil. I'm a good person. I just did what I had to. And it's like, no, Sam, you really didn't. You really didn't have to do any of those things. whether it be, allowing the torture to happen, the cutting off your boyfriend's arm, the trapping a child willful neglect, trapping a traumatized young man in with somebody who you know for a fact mistreated them and has violent tendencies. Like, no, you're the worst at your job ever, Sam, and you did some really terrible things that even if you like can say like, well, it was necessary and justify it to yourself, like, that doesn't mean you're a good person.
This is the thing I really wanted to see with Sam, and it hasn't happened yet, and I hope it will, is him essentially, I guess it's kind of happened, but it hasn't really hit, I don't think. It's basically him realizing that everything he did didn't have any point to it, because Dream is out of prison, and he's not actually doing anything that Sam thought he would do when he was out of prison.
Yeah.
Because I think at the moment he's just like, oh, he's just biding his time. Which I mean, like, he might be, but, like, we have no idea what his plan going forward is.
Well, I'm kind of curious, because, like, I don't know what Sam thinks Dream would do. Like, obviously he didn't expect him to come back to the prison, because who in their right mind would do that?
He did kind of expect him to come back to the prison for, like, a really long time.
I'm expecting he thought that he'd want to go after Tommy, which he just, like, straight up did not do.
Yeah.
Like, they have had two interactions since Dream escaped. One was accidental because they were in the same place at the same time and Dream decided to freak Tommy out and scare him away. And the second was because Tommy came into his house.
Yeah.
Deliberately seeking him out.
Well, to be fair, that was Wilbur dragging Tommy along by the ear.
True. Which, yeah, again, like, that was fucked up, Wilbur. Somebody get fucking Tommy a new guiding figure in life. Jesus Christ.
Just like lift him up and say like you need to get a better big brother figure.
Yeah, he does.
Except like all the hermits are just horrified about Wilbur.
Honestly, character Tommy needs to just fucking leave. He needs to leave.
Yeah.
He needs to he doesn't really have a house. It's like a dirt shack, okay? And I get there's like emotional. I think it might have been. And I get there's, emotional sentimentality and whatever, but honestly, at this point, does that matter? You don't have any- what good memories do you have left from here?
You should go ahead and make new ones instead of holding on to the past.
Yeah. Like, it's not-
Punk building a tree just to watch it burn.
Okay, but Punk built that tree intentionally because he wanted someone to burn it down, to be fair.
The fourth time he built it, maybe. But the other times-
the first couple times, Punk deserves better. But that last tree he had Foolish make for him, he intentionally built it and said, like, I want this to be built because I know someone's gonna burn it down because they burnt down the last three. I want someone to burn this down so I can go to war with them. Like, that was his entire intention by building that tree, and it happened. And I'm just like, Punk, why? Why do you set yourself up for this? Oh my god. The characters in the Dream SMP all need intensive therapy.
So do we have any answers from the question of the week?
I think we did. Actually.
I think we had a long
I can't remember.
Long discussion.
CPK or BBH CPK would be interesting if it was Sam or just someone who knows nothing about the egg and took it home and cultivated it. by accident.
Yeah! I think that'd be funny. That's a good AU, though.
Just, like, stick it in a pot.
Yeah, it's just my little evil plant,
buddy.
And
give it plant food. Woo! Feed it little insects
when
like
you take home a Venus flytrap, like and it turns Venus into a giant monster and tries to eat you and all your friends. Woo!
You know what's really funny to me,
what's it called? What's it called? Little Shop of Horrors?
Yeah, I think something similar to that.
Those kind of vibes. Mm. But yeah, that would be fun. Just like something completely unintentional.
It's really funny to me though that the eggplot's been going on for so long, Foolish just straight up decides to end it himself.
Yeah.
And then also now we have the whole thing with XD wanting Foolish to kill people from him.
Yeah.
Yeah! Murder!
People need to actually be on for him to kill them though.
See, it's interesting to me because it seems like right now his intention is to try and get other people to murder people for him so that he doesn't get the blame for it, which, you know, fair. That's smart. Like, if you need people to die, why do it yourself when you can assassinate them? Yeah, so he needs people to die. He needs them all to die.
And that's really funny that he says that and goes try and rescue Aimsy anyway.
Yeah, that's true.
That's kind of like a dream thing, isn't it?
He needs people to die, but like he doesn't want. Like he needs them to die, but he doesn't want them to actually die. He's just like, I don't care. The funny thing is, he doesn't even care who dies. Like he doesn't care who dies. But then he sees someone about to die, and he's like, no.
I should probably interfere, but I probably shouldn't interfere. He says, going to interfere.
Yeah, it's just like, buddy, you gotta pick. Are you gonna, like, kill people to save yourself, or are you gonna try and prevent people from dying?
Yeah.
And but die yourself, just, like, maybe?
Foolish and dream. Doing things they don't have to do and probably shouldn't do because it's detrimental to their goals.
Honestly, though.
So, do you guys, what do you think we should do for the next question of the week?
Well, we talked about Sea Dream all this time again.
question for the revive book, because like, Sapnap revealed kinda that you can trade someone else's life to use the revive book. What do you think the cost of the revive book?
Wait, no, wouldn't that be the death book?
Oh, you mean the death book?
Yeah, sorry, right. Death book. Sapnap said you could trade someone else's life to use the death book. So what was the cost Dream paid to use the revive book?
I think personally in favor of it being like, that he's like giving up his ability to die. Because that would explain some of his actions, especially with the disc finale, considering he would be way more chill with dying if he knew that he couldn't actually die. Mm. And that we've seen that that kind of immortality can be a thing from Foolish.
Mm.
And we know that that comes from XD, and we also know that XD is connected to the revive book.
Mm.
And presumably the death book as well. Yeah, I think he is, because he said he put them somewhere.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But also, like, he does respawn, so it's not, I guess it's not like a...
Yeah, but it could just mean that, like, he just has infinite respawns. Like, infinite canon lives.
That sounds like a curse when you're trapped in a torture box.
Yeah.
Yep.
More fuel for the angsty fanfictions.
I think there's already an angsty fanfic about Quackity.
I don't think he's actually like died in the prison because then it will be noticed. I think it will be like really cool if this is like a point to the future where someone kills him and it's like canon death and they all think he's dead and then he just shows up again. And I was
sorry,
just like, what
just
the hell just happened?
Gotta go. See ya!
And this goes back to the whole thing about Dream having, like, ? Lives. Because that was, like, what Wilbur kind of, like, originally said when he was talking about setting out the live system.
I don't trust anything Wilbur
says. And, like,
says
everyone thought
about anything
that got wrecked. Yeah, but I think at that point he probably, like, talked to people and said, like, hey, how many lives do you want?
I don't think he did, honestly. I don't think he did.
But then I wouldn't really understand why he would say that Dream had unknown lives.
Well, because he likes
unless,
to make
like, Dream went and said, like...
Because he likes to make Dream from Wilbur's sort of perspective and like how the play should, how the story should play out, Dream.
Well,
is
to be
just...
fair, we also just don't know how many lives Dream had at the time. Like that, you gotta remember that list is old. Like
yeah.
we didn't.
Yeah.
He.
I did think some of the stuff on the list got record.
I mean, it's
but
very
I do like
possible
the idea of them
that
bringing
he...
them back and saying that he has. Question mark lives because he actually essentially has infinite lives because the revive book.
Yeah, well, I mean,
because like even if that wasn't the original idea, I would do like the idea of them bringing that back.
Well, I was just thinking like with the question marks, my guess is that you know,
we don't know how many times he's died.
Well, to be fair, at the time of them making that list, A, they probably didn't want to say like, oh, he has three lives like everyone else, or B, Dream himself was probably like, huh, I don't know, would he have died before? Like, it's very possible that they just put question marks because Wilbur himself didn't know how many lives Dream wanted to have.
But I do think I do think it's also important to note that we don't know when they came with the revive book idea, but we do know that in story, Dream had already gotten the book by the time that that list was released.
Yeah, and that could play a component.
So assuming that they tore up that at the same time as Dream in canon got the book,
I would say
it could be that factor.
Idea probably happened fairly early on because the prison starts being built almost as soon as like the day.
And
of
it really
exile.
Was only like a couple months in between the oh I got a book from Sash.
I
and
do you think
the
Shrat
revealed
thing
that
might
the
have
revival
been a bit
book.
Retroactive?
Yeah, but I'm not sure if that happened. I think that happened after Wilbur Quest to the list.
Yeah. Well, I don't
I
know.
Feel
I feel
like
it's
feel
just
like...
not like I feel like it's just kind of meh to like focus in on that list so much because it's so old. And it
it's
was
not. It's
and like
yeah,
it was
but
made,
I think it
would
be
like,
fun thing to them too.
Like I don't think it matters, right? Like yeah. It's okay at the time it was a good reference because like, it told us how many lives people had lost from, especially on the Lamanberg side because they've lost the most lives. But I feel like outside like at this point it doesn't matter so much because like so many people have died. The
you
life system's more complicated
deaths.
Now with the revives and whatnot.
I
different
think
people are added
about the
and
list,
then like deciding
it's
how
more
many
about
lives
just
they have.
The concept of Dream's lives being different from everyone else's for some reason.
I mean, it's definitely an interesting thought, and I think it'd be interesting if they would play around with, like, how the revive book works with the person
yeah.
in charge
it,
of
it. But it's, like, I don't think it's, at least really old stuff, but I feel like a lot of what Wilbur says, he just sort of says things without really consulting the others entirely.
Yeah.
Because he made that whole... stupid ass D&D alignment chart that everybody hates.
Most of it's hate. There's a few people.
But yeah, but I do think you have to consider the fact that the fandom has influenced the story before. So it's entirely possible that Dream saw people coming up with ideas of his character being immortal and said, oh yeah, actually that sounds cool, I'm gonna do it.
He could. We don't
that
know
be the
that's
first
the thing,
that
yeah, right?
That's, like we don't know.
We know he's died twice. We don't know anything.
But
else.
Anyway, yes, we have a question. Wait, what was the question?
I was gonna ask what would be the cost of the revive book and could you substitute it with something else? Like how
okay, yeah,
Zapnap was trying to substitute the cost of someone else's life.
Alright, so that's us for this week, I guess.
I think so.
Hopefully I won't forget to upload the episode this time.
Good luck, Sai.
Yes, good luck.
This is what happens. This is what happens when you have exams.
Will,
you just forget everything else.
I will try
else.
And remind you on Monday.
Bye.
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 Well, thanks for listening to the 55th episode of Moehi, and we hope you enjoyed it. If there's any topic you'd like to hear us discuss, feel free to leave a comment or find us on Twitter at Moehi Podcast, where you can also ask us questions or just get updates about new episodes. We also have a Discord server that you can find a link to in the description. See you next time!